The apostles were sad. They were sad because they'd been with Jesus about three and a half years as far as ministry is concerned. They'd seen his life. They'd seen his ministry. They loved him. They'd been with him. And in John chapter 14, he starts off and says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, so many dwelling places. It wasn't that way. I told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He's told them. He's told them he's leaving. He's leaving and that he would be gone, but they would make it. In fact, he says in John chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. He's going to send another helper. That helper, of course, is the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, Jesus Christ left his presence in a location on this earth. He has ascended back into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. One of the things that's hard for us to comprehend is that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He also indwells in us. We also know the Holy Spirit indwells in us. We also know that the Father indwells in us. Those are just truths we see from the scripture. But Jesus told his men, you've been with me, I've been with you, I'm going to go and leave and prepare a place for you. One day I'll come back and get you. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to leave another helper, and that helper is the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be looking at that aspect of it this morning, of the Holy Spirit, his coming, what he does, and this is generally. Then next time, we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the unbeliever's life. What does he do in unbelievers? And then the key thing is we're going to spend most of the rest of our lessons, the rest of this semester, on what does the Holy Spirit do in the life of believers, both at salvation and then in our Christian life. So there's a lot of great stuff there. Let's begin with a brief review. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. We said the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force. Some people think of Star Wars, and they think that there is a force, which is Eastern mysticism, that there is a force for good and force for evil, and it's just whichever one you follow and that there's out there. But that's not true. There is evil, and there's an evil being called Satan and his angels, but the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a member of the Godhead. In fact, the second aspect is the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God, and if you look through the Bible, the Holy Spirit has the same attributes of God the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit did the same things. We talked about what he's done, so he's God. The third thing that we saw is the Holy Spirit is the creator. In Genesis 1:2, he created the world. He also created people. He also created the animals. And then one of the things that he did is in the Old Testament, and this is what we're talking about, Old Testament, he would actually come upon a person. The Holy Spirit would come to a person. Sometimes the Bible says come upon. Sometimes it has the idea of indwelling. But he would come upon a person to empower them to do particular things. And we saw it. Like he came upon a man named Bezalel so he could make the different articles for the temple and for the tabernacle and those kind of things. And we've seen that. Now, one of the things that's unique is that he indwelled, but not permanently. So sometimes he would come upon a person in the Old Testament, but he would leave them. That has nothing to do with salvation. That's why in Psalm 32, Psalm 51, when David writes, when he says, do not take your what? Holy Spirit away from me. David actually was saying, Lord, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. We can't pray that because we've got the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, and it's a permanent indwelling. And so we don't have to say, oh, Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me, because he's not going to do that. That's a different thing. But in the Old Testament, he did. Saul, first king of Israel, when it says that he became the king, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him and he became a new man. And then later on, it actually says the Holy Spirit left him. He was in disobedience to God. He didn't do the things God wanted him to do. He's trying to kill King David. He's trying to kill David, who wasn't the king yet, but would be the king. And the Holy Spirit actually left him. It had nothing to do with salvation. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon a person, but not necessarily permanently indwell. Then we talked about how the Holy Spirit had a ministry in Christ. The Holy Spirit was active at the birth. He was there. He conceived Jesus Christ. That's hard for us to comprehend, but Mary said, how can it be that I'm going to have a baby since I'm a virgin? And the angel Gabriel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And what will be in your womb will be the Son of God. So the Holy Spirit was at the conception of Christ. He's at the baptism of Christ. Holy Spirit came down like a dove. He was in the ministry of Christ. In fact, everything Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he had a part in both the death and resurrection of Christ. In the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus offered him up as death on the cross, and he rose from the grave in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what we've been seeing is the Holy Spirit has an amazing ministry, which oftentimes we never even think about it. If I'd have said to you, who put Jesus on the cross? We would say, well, Jesus himself did. Jesus said, I lay down my life, I take it up again. But at the same time, the Bible says he offered himself up through the eternal Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And when we say, well, who raised Jesus from the dead? Well, the Father raised Jesus from the dead, and Jesus raised himself from the dead. But it also says the Holy Spirit raised him from the dead. So there's just so much in the Bible that sometimes we read so fast or we don't really look at it and we miss it. So this morning, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise that the Holy Spirit would come. We're going to actually see the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we're just touching on this. Revelation, inspiration, illumination. Following all this, we're going to start talking about how the Holy Spirit deals with people. So let's start with, and you're in John 14, let's look at the promise of the Holy Spirit that God, that Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. Jesus is talking about going, he's going to die and rise again. We know what happened. He went to the cross, he died, he was buried. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, walked on the earth for 40 days, and then ascended into heaven. But he told them, I'm leaving you. And of course, they were sad, and we would be sad too. In fact, if Jesus were here, and we'd been with him for 3.5 years, basically, and he said he's leaving, we would say, we don't want you to leave, right? Wouldn't you? You'd say, we don't want you to leave. We don't want that. But he says, here's the plan. I'm going to leave, but I'm going to, and this is John 14:16. Look what it says. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you. Look, notice, he may be with you for a short time. He may be with you for a few years. No, it says he may be with you what? What does it say? Forever. So he says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, by the way, in the Greek, there's two different words for another. There's a word that means another of a different kind, heteros, and then there's another of the same kind. This is the Greek word, another of the same kind. He says, I'm going to send you another helper that's the same kind as me, meaning he's God. It's a powerful truth. So he says, I'm going to ask the Father, he'll give you another helper of the same kind. He would send someone else. Now, when is this Holy Spirit coming? When is this another helper? By the way, the Greek word for helper is paraclete, okay? Paraclete, not parakeet, but paraclete, okay? Not a little bird, but even though the Holy Spirit comes down as a bird, as a dove. But he is paraclete. Para, which means beside. Kaleo, that's the Greek word for kaleo, means to call. Para means beside. The Greek word paraclete means to be called beside, to help. It's a helper. So if you said this person's a helper, he's the one called beside to be with you. So he says, I'm going to send another of the same kind of helper, a paraclete, the one that's going to come. When is he going to come? Well, this one will come after Jesus leaves. John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, I tell you the truth. It's for your advantage that I go away. Now, what would we say if we were there with Jesus and he said, it's really for your advantage that I go away? What would we say? I don't think so. I think it's for our advantage to be with you. And he said, no, you don't understand. It's really for your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the helper, another of the same kind of helper, the paraclete, the one coming to help, will not come to you. So I got to go away for him to come. But if I go, I will send him to you. So here we find that Jesus says, I'm leaving. And they go, no. And he says, no, it's really good. It's really good because I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to leave. I'm going to ask the Father to send somebody who's just like me, and he's going to come be with you. And it's good that I go away because if I didn't go away, he wouldn't come. Now think about this. When Jesus was on the earth, basically, in one sense, he was limited to what? To one place, to walk around with the guys, to be there. But when the Holy Spirit comes, who does he come upon? Who? Every one of us. So wherever anybody is that's a Christian in the world, the power of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Spirit is actually in them. So Jesus is saying, see, it's actually better. Instead of me being here, it's everywhere. And they went, huh? What do you mean? I don't know. We didn't get it, right? They didn't get it. They didn't get a lot of things. You remember what he told them? I'm going to Jerusalem. I'll be handed over. The religious leaders will arrest me. I'll be handed over to the Romans. They will kill me, and 3 days later, I will rise from the grave. And they went, what's he talking about? We don't even get it. They never got it. They never got it. When he rose from the grave, they didn't grasp it. They went out to the tomb. He wasn't there. They went, what could have happened to the body? Angel said, why are you coming out here? Why are you coming to where the dead are when you should be looking for the living one? So anyway, they didn't get it. But he says, it's your advantage that I leave because when I go away, he will come. Now, what is the Holy Spirit going to do differently? You remember in the Old Testament, what would he do to a person? He could come upon that person, empower them to serve, and then leave. Okay? What about New Testament? Look what he says. He says, I will ask the Father, he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. This is the Holy Spirit. It's always truth. Whom the world can't receive because it doesn't see him or know him. See, the world doesn't understand the Spirit of truth. The world doesn't understand Holy Spirit. But watch what he goes on to say. But you know him because he abides with you and he shall be where? in you. Now, this is what's going to be different. Because every one of us in this room, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior, if you put your faith in Christ as Savior, the moment you trusted Christ, and we're going to see this in the weeks to come, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you permanently. So Jesus says, listen, I'm leaving. Oh, don't leave. No, it's really good. It's really good. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to send somebody who's the same as me. In fact, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, he will come. And he has been with you because the Holy Spirit's always here. But he says, now he's going to be in you. And this is so amazing because he abides with you and he will be in you. So when we think about the Holy Spirit, wow. Now, here's the question. What's he going to do? And I want you to see, what's he going to do with these guys? Because this is what's coming here. We can make some applications, but he's dealing directly with the 12. Now, one of the 12, what's going to happen to one of the 12? He's going to betray him, and he's going to die. So there's only going to be 11. Now, a lot of times in the scripture, it'll say the 12, but there's only 11 of them because they were just called the 12, even though one's gone. Later, they picked a guy named Matthias to be one of the 12. We don't know much about him. Later on, Paul comes. In fact, there are about 16 people in the New Testament that are called apostles. One of them is called Apollos. He's an apostle. Paul's an apostle. But anyway, that's a different thing. What's this Holy Spirit going to do? In John chapter 14, verse 26, I want you to look at this. Look at verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, if there's any doubt who the helper is, because somebody could say, well, how do we know the helper is the Holy Spirit? He keeps saying the helper, the Spirit of truth. Who would be the Spirit of truth? Who would be the Spirit of truth? Holy Spirit. But look over here at verse 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, he just wants to make sure we got it, whom the Father will send in my name. He sent in the name of Jesus. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, he's talking to these guys. Look what he says that the Holy Spirit will do. He will teach you new things and remind them all Jesus Christ said, the old things. Listen, have you ever wondered how when John was writing the Gospel of John, and he is writing all about Christ's life, ministry, from the time he first met Jesus all the way to the end, how's he going to remember all those stuff? How's he going to remember those details? How's he going to remember what Jesus said to the guy beside the road? How's he going to remember those things? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit's come upon him and is reminding him of all the things that Jesus said and did. Plus, the Holy Spirit's going to give them new revelation. The new revelation is going to be John and Mark and Matthew, and then later Luke, and then Paul going to come across, and he's going to write 13 letters, and then John's going to write 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. He's going to write the book of Revelation. So the Holy Spirit is going to give these men, he's going to say, look what he says. The Holy Spirit will come. He will teach you all things. He's going to teach new things. He's going to bring you information that you never got. Do you remember on the road to Emmaus, after Jesus rose from the grave and they weren't sure what happened to him, and there are two guys walking on the road to Emmaus, and that's 7 miles from Jerusalem. They've left Jerusalem. They're walking home, and suddenly Jesus appears. And they don't know it's Jesus because he hid himself from them. And they go, and Jesus said, why are you guys so sad? And they said, sad? You don't know what's been going on? Are you new around here? And he said, well, tell me what's going on. And they said, about Jesus, and he was the Messiah, and he died, and it's been 3 days since then, and we got word that somebody went out to the tomb, and he wasn't there, so we don't know what's going on. And Jesus said, are you guys that slow? That's what he said. Do you not remember what the scripture says? And then he taught them the scripture all the way through what he called the law, the writings, and the prophets. He taught them the whole Old Testament about the Messiah. And then they got to a place to eat, and they said, would you eat with us? And he said, well, I'll eat with them. And as he broke bread, Jesus broke bread, I think they saw the scars, and they realized it was Jesus, and he disappeared. And then here's what they said. They said, wow, didn't his word burn? The word burned in our hearts when he taught. See, he's going to teach them, and they begin to put things together, and they begin to see what he's teaching. And of course, the Holy Spirit, that's what the Holy Spirit did. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to remind them of the things that Jesus did and said, and he's going to teach them new things from Jesus. Powerful, powerful truths. Now, here's one thing, and this is why when we study the Holy Spirit, most people say, I never really know much about the Holy Spirit. I mean, if I said, talk about the God the Father, you can say some things about God the Father. In the Old Testament, he's Elohim. That's the plural form. He's Yahweh. He's YHWH, which is the eternal God. Sometimes he's called Adonai, which just means the Lord, the Master, the deity. You can take him through the Old Testament and talk about how he so loved the world, he gave his Son. And then we can talk about Jesus, and we can talk a whole bunch about Jesus. But if we start talking about the Holy Spirit, we go, well, there's not a whole, we don't know a whole lot about him. Well, here's why. Look what he does. He will bear witness. Jesus says he will bear witness of me. Look at this verse, John 15:26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. Who sent the Son, by the way? Who sent the Son into the world? The Father. Who sent the Spirit into the world? Proceeds from the Father. So God the Father sent the Son. God the Father sent the Spirit. Look what it says. When the Spirit comes, he will testify about me. When the disciples and the apostles on the day of Pentecost stood there, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they proclaimed the message of Jesus Christ. The role of the Holy Spirit is to proclaim Christ. That's his role. It's not to talk about himself. Now, Jesus can talk about himself. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to talk about himself. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father through me. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I'm the Son of God. I mean, that's what he said. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and say, hey, I'm the Holy Spirit. I'm really great. Holy Spirit says, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. When we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, who should we be talking about? Who should we be talking about? Say it. Jesus, exactly. That's why when we go out in this community to share the good news of Jesus Christ, what power do we go in? Power of the Holy Spirit. What's the message supposed to be about? It's supposed to be about Jesus, how he died and rose again. So he says he's going to be the one. Let me look at the time. Okay, we're running out of time. Okay, when the Helper comes, which I send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Now, let's talk about, and we can go through this faster, let's talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to turn there, but in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus with his men, right, this is within a 40-day time period, he's about to go into heaven, when I say 40 days, he's died, he's rose again, he's walked on the earth, walks on the earth 40 days, he ascends to heaven, he's already made the promise, and then he said this, okay, men, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait till the promise comes. What's the promise? Promise of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he told them, I'm going to leave, and after I leave, the Holy Spirit will come. So he says, I'm leaving, and after I'm gone, you go back to Jerusalem, and you wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And what happened? As we see in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the Holy Spirit came. It came on the day of Pentecost. The 120 of the disciples, the believers, were in a room praying. And suddenly it sounded as if, it doesn't say it was a rushing mighty wind. It said it sounded as if there was a rushing mighty wind. And they looked around and above the heads of every person was a flame of fire. Above their heads. It was symbolic for them to be able to look around and say, oh my gracious, what is that? And they realized, wait a minute, that's the Spirit of God. That's the Holy Spirit coming upon us. And it was an amazing thing. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, Peter stood up and began to be the leader. And they all began to go out and they began to proclaim the message of Christ. And they could speak different languages because there were people in Jerusalem. They were all there for the Feast of Pentecost and they were from all over the world. And these believers could stand out there and some of them could speak this language and some could speak this language and this language because it was all in the power of the Holy Spirit. And people heard them and they said, wait a minute. And a big crowd gathered. And Peter got up and told them in the power of the Holy Spirit how Jesus died and rose again, and if they would believe in him, they would be saved forever. That's the very first message, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came. Ever since then, every time a person puts their faith in Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us to empower us. Now, we'll get to that later, but I just want you to see that. So that's a very powerful truth that what happened. He said, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. So let me ask you something. Is Jesus with us here? We could say, yes, he lives inside of us and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But the truth is, he says, I've given you a power. I've given you the person of the Holy Spirit who is to be your power. He says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Right? How are we supposed to live Christian life? Walking in the Power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's talking about. So this is what we see. We've got just a couple of minutes. Let me show you the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is an overall aspect of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what we call in the New Testament. It's revelation, inspiration, illumination. I just want you to know it. You have it there. Revelation is God making himself known. Inspiration is God making himself known in written form. That's the Bible. And illumination is where the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the scripture. So let me remind you, revelation, God has revealed himself in a lot of different ways, but the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal Jesus Christ. Inspiration is a written form. 2 Peter 1, 2 Timothy 3. We've studied 2 Timothy 3 already going through our study. That's the scripture. The Holy Spirit actually gave us the scripture. How did he do it? He took a person like Paul, Peter, James, John, Luke, and he came upon them. And it says, men who were moved by the Holy Spirit, he came into their life, he helped bring to remembrance the things that they knew, he helped give them new revelation, and they wrote Luke and John and the 13 letters that Paul wrote and James and Peter and all of that stuff was because the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them the information using their personalities, using their vocabularies, using everything. So when Paul writes, it sounds like Paul. When Peter writes, it sounds like Peter. When John writes, it sounds like John, but it's the Holy Spirit writing through them to give us the revelation. So you hold in your hand the written revelation from God given to us by the Holy Spirit through people. It's amazing. The third one is illumination. And let me look at the time. Okay, time is really up, but let me read this to you. This is John chapter 16. Here's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, Jesus says, there's a lot of things I want to tell you, but when the Spirit comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative. He will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. What he's saying is when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to be there to help you go, oh, that's what that means. Because see, he wrote it. And so he illuminates it so that we can understand it. It's called illumination. So here's what we say real quickly. The Holy Spirit promised by Jesus came after he's gone. The Holy Spirit came to indwell on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit gives new revelation. He gives the scripture. The Holy Spirit teaches new things, reminds us of old things. And that was especially for them. But even us, if you've memorized a verse and you're talking to somebody, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring that verse back to your mind to help you as you share your faith. I mean, think about it. That's why he says put the word of God in your heart so it's in your brain so the Holy Spirit can help you remember the things that you've studied and been taught. The Holy Spirit helps them, helps us understand the scripture. So applications. The Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus, came on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is God's promised helper, helper of the same kind. The Holy Spirit indwells us permanently, so it's unique and special. The second application is the Holy Spirit gives and reveals scripture. The Holy Spirit gives the inspired word of God using people. The Holy Spirit illuminates the scripture. And the Holy Spirit gives new revelation and reminded the apostles of the older revelation, of the things that they already could remember or know. Okay, so that's where we are. So we ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit who is inside of us, that gave us the scripture, helps us to understand the scripture. And as time goes by, we're going to see what he does in our lives. But the next time, we're going to see, what does he do for the unbeliever? I mean, think about it. There are people out there all over the place. They don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. What does the Holy Spirit do? We'll see that next time.